This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody, come on, let's give God a big hand. Praise this Sunday morning. Welcome to Lighthouse Church, first Sunday of the year. God's doing some amazing things, and we're ready for God to do greater things. I want to declare to you this morning, God has greater things for your life. Let me say it again. God has greater things for your life. This is not the best yet. God's not done with you yet. And for some of us, the problem is we've been asleep. We've been spiritually asleep. And we've been missing out on God's purpose and God's plan. And we've been missing out the fact that the enemy's been attacking you and your life and your relationships and anything good in your life. Because when you are laying down, life passes you by and you don't notice. And 2026, we're saying it's time for all of us to arise. It's time to wake up. It's time to get up and begin to do something greater with our lives. I don't have to ask you to say amen or raise your hand, but I believe all of us know that deep inside of us, there's a better version of us that's yet to come out. Thank God I'm not who I used to be, but I know I'm still not yet who I can be. Anybody else in between? We've made progress, but there's greater things. Everybody say greater things. Well, I want you to preach to the person next to you. Tell them God has greater things for you. Tell them. So we begin the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's a great way for us to reset, not just physically, but more important, spiritually. What is fasting? Many of you are new to church, new to fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is simply a sacrifice, a physical sacrifice in order to draw closer to God. So you sacrifice the things that hurt your flesh the most. The obvious one is to fast some sort of food. There's different ways to fast. Some people fast from sundown to sunup, and whichever way works for you. There's a Daniel's fast that's very common. And so a lot of those fasts involve food, and given the way some of us ate during the holidays, maybe it's not a bad thing physically as well. But I also want to expand your thinking around fasting to also think about things you can sacrifice that are not helping or improving your walk with God. So for example, for some of you, your fast for the next 21 days might be to stay away from Netflix. Just 21 days, no Netflix. Oh my God, I'd rather not eat. Well, maybe that's a problem. Or maybe some social media, you're spending too much time scrolling, you're in a death scroll loom. Whatever it is that is, and you might say, look, and I'm not saying those things are sinful. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're sinful. I'm just saying they take time away from you spending with God. Amen? So it could be anything along those lines. So I want to encourage you to sacrifice something that hurts your flesh and then repurpose that time and attention towards God. That is the best trade-off you'll ever make in your life. Okay, so that's what fasting really is. It's to make a trade-off of whatever it is that's wasting your time. So maybe for you it's putting away that game for a while. All the Battle Royale people and all the Nintendo people and all the, like, oh no, Pastor, don't go there. I'm going right there. Whatever it's costing you, spend 2, 3, 4, 5. Imagine if you spend those 3 hours praying or worshiping or reading the Bible. your life would be better off. So I'm not being extreme. I'm just saying repurpose some of your time and attention towards God and watch God bless you. Amen? So that's what the prayer and fasting is really designed to do. Many ways for us to be engaged with this throughout the week and the month for the next 21 days. So please I encourage you to take God seriously. That sounds like a weird thing to say at church, but take God seriously. Because God wants to do greater things in your life. 2026 is going to be an amazing year. We're going to arise together and pray that God does some amazing things. How many are ready for an awesome 2026? Amen? And let me lastly say, in order for you to have a blessed 2026, it's going to require for you to partner with God. It's not you alone. It's not God alone. It's you partnering with God. When you and I partner with God, amazing things will happen. So let's begin to think about that. So excited for everything going on this week, this month, as we get going with 2026. Also, as your prayers, heading out to London here this afternoon for work. Also taking my daughter. She's going to spend a semester of school over there. So keep her in prayer. She's here and she's going to go with me today. And I'm going to leave her there. I'm going to work and I'm going to come back and so keep her in your prayers, and let's pray for all of our kids that are going back to school. Anybody excited to go back to school or work? So first corporate prayer here this morning. I want you to lift up your hands towards heaven if you're physically able to do so. Begin to pray for what it is you want God to do in your life in 2026. Can we begin to think big? Come on, let God know the desires of your heart. Let God know the thing that's most important to you that you would want for him to bring into your life as you partner with him. If you have that already in your heart and your mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you. We thank you for a new year. We know many people, some of our loved ones, didn't join us in this year. You've given us life. You've given us the opportunity to experience another year. I pray, God, that this year would not be wasted on things that do not matter. I pray that this year would be focused. I pray that this year we would strengthen and deepen our relationship with you. I pray that this year we would rise up to become the men, the women you created us to be. I pray against the spirit of procrastination and delay. And I pray, God, that you give us a sense of urgency to get up and step into the destiny that you have declared for our lives. Lord, as we get ready to hear your word, open up our hearts, God. Let our ears be attentive. Let us be ready to receive what you have for us this morning. And for all the amazing things you will do today and for the rest of this year, by faith in advance, we give you praise. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand praise. And you may be seated. Thank you so much for being here. The theme for our church, for not just this sermon series and not just the month of January, but for throughout the year, is the word arise. Everybody say arise. It's really a call to arise. It is really a shake-up, if you would, for us to get up into a greater calling and purpose. Let me remind all of us here this morning that God has greater things for all of us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God has plans for our lives to bless us, to prosper us, to help us move forward and be a blessing to others. But those plans can go unbuilt if we don't partner with him and making that come to pass. And so there's a call to arise. And I just felt as we began to pray for 2026, you know, even a few months ago, begin to ask God, what is it you want us to do? And part of it is we have so many new people here at our church. You know, last year, God blessed us with over 200 baptisms in Jesus' name. So a lot of folks are new. You know, their faith is new. They're new to God, new to Christ. And so there's a tendency sometimes when you're new to Christ to think that when you get baptized, like that is the pinnacle, that is the highest high, and then you tend to kind of coast. And some of us are fire for God, is not what it once was. And so regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, we all fall into seasons of slumber, into seasons of sleepiness, into seasons of inactivity, into seasons of distraction. And you know, I as I was praying about this, you know, a thought came into my heart that I wanted to share with you, because we often talk about the fact that the enemy wants to destroy you and me. And that's true. The Bible says that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. But I feel like in this season, this years that we're in, the devil doesn't have to destroy you if he can first distract you. And I believe that too many of us are distracted. We're not feeling the attack of the enemy, but we are distracted by things that don't matter. Focused on things that add no value to your life. Focused on things, being passionate about things that will not advance you in your marriage, in your relationship with God. And I'm not saying those things are sinful. I'm not saying it's wrong to have that hobby. I'm not saying it's wrong to play games or watch a movie. I'm not saying that this is not a sinful thing. It's just we need to be careful that we're not being distracted to such a degree that our eye and attention is off of God into things that are trivial. And in the context of all this, the verse that gave sort of birth to this theme comes from Isaiah chapter 60. And if you have your Bibles, prophet Isaiah chapter 60 is where we draw our context for this morning. And in context, it is a prophecy, a millennial prophecy, really talking about the millennial time. But just like it is in the Bible, so it is in our lives, that we go through certain eras. We go through certain seasons in our own lives. And there's application for us here this morning in this same prophecy. Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1-3 says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." It is a prophetic call to arise. It is a wake-up moment, if you would, for God's people to get up, to understand that it's time to get up. In the Bible, sin in our lives is equated to darkness. When you're in sin, the Bible says you're in darkness. You can't really see well. And the Bible also says that sin produces sort of a spiritual sleep. You're spiritually asleep. And so whether it's darkness or sleepiness, sin has that effect on you. Like, you know when you have a really, really big meal, you get sleepy? Oh, come on. We just went through the holidays. You know what I'm talking about. There's something about sin that has that effect. Sin has the effect of wanting to cause you to fall spiritually asleep. And the reason why the enemy wants you to be spiritually asleep is that when you're spiritually asleep, you're not aware of what he's doing. Some of you, while you were sleeping, the enemy's trying to sow seeds of division in your marriage. While you were asleep, God's trying to find some guy or some girl to flirt with your loved one. While you're asleep, your kids have begun to take the wrong road and you haven't noticed. While you're sleeping, things are going on detrimental to your future. But when you're asleep, you don't know. You don't recognize. You don't realize. Your eyes are closed. Like the world is moving, stuff's happening, and you don't even see it because you're asleep. Now, let me ask you, how many of you would say you're a light sleeper? Like you wake up kind of fast. Light sleepers. You can wake up pretty easy. Awesome. Okay. Now, how many of you, it takes some effort to wake you up? Let me see. It takes some effort to wake. Raise them up high because I want to know who my target is. this morning. I know. I want to see who I'm looking. Okay, I see you, Richard, back there. Okay, one more time. Who like takes a while? You take a while to get up. All right. So I got to know where to direct my weaponry. When you are asleep, and let's say a thief comes into your house, you notice it. If you are easy to wake up. If you are heavy sleeper, a thief can come into your home, make dinner, watch TV, and you wouldn't even know it. The thief could be making himself at your house, and you don't even know it because you're asleep. And while you are sleeping spiritually, I'm concerned the devil's come into some of your homes, come into some of your hearts, and you don't even recognize it because you're asleep. And so the call is to arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, this call, this prophetic, like, come on, let's get up. Why is that necessary? Where's it coming from? Why? What condition were God's people in that required them to arise? Well, as it is in the Bible, it's good to read in context and understand the full picture. So this is Isaiah 60, the chapter before Isaiah 59, gives you the reason why God's people needed to get up. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 9 and 12. Now notice, this is God's people, and we're talking about 600 years before the birth of Christ. So we're talking over 3,000 years or so away from where we're at today. But you know, people are people. And so Isaiah 59 tells us the reason why God's calling on his people to get up. The reason was this, chapter 59. The people say, now we know why God does not save us from those who oppress us. We hope for light, but there's only darkness. You ever been there? It just seems like it's just dark. It just seems like there's no clarity. It just seems like there's no answer. Like it's almost like you're sleepwalking through life and you can't see. And if you're not careful, you can be in a prolonged state of darkness. Where for years, like, come on, let's face some of you here, some of us, if you live without God for a long, long, long time, anybody here now looked back and says, man, I had some years of darkness. Like, I couldn't even see what I was doing. I couldn't even tell the stuff I was doing. I was heading towards danger and I couldn't see it. Can you imagine if I just fully closed my, if I got blindfolded and started walking forward? Are you good? One more? Exactly. You know what? I'm brave. I'm young. I got to figure it out. Nothing's going to happen to me. You know what? I'm going to take a big step. Ooh, hey. Am I still good? I'm going. Oh, I feel loved. You see me about to eat it. I don't realize I'm about to fall. That's the difference between your eyes open and your eyes closed. Now, some of you know, now we're here. We're at church. I'm a Christian. All the Christians say amen. How many of you have friends, family members, coworkers that are just walking fast? And you're like, oh my God. They don't know because your eyes are open. But when your eyes are closed, you don't recognize, you don't realize the danger you're in. You don't realize you're about to break your head. You don't realize your family's about to crash. You don't realize your future's about to be destroyed. But when your eyes are closed, you don't see it. You don't see it. And so the people say, now we know why God does not save us from those who oppress us. We hope for light, but there's only darkness. We feel our way along. And that image is somehow stuck in my heart. Like, a lot of us are walking through life. You ever woke up in a hotel in the middle of the night? Like when you're at home, you know the layout. But you know, I travel a lot and the hotels are all different. And sometimes I wake up and it's dark and I'm like, I don't know. Am I getting off on this side or where am I? Right? You don't know. When it's dark, you can't tell. We feel our way along as if we were blind. We stumble at noon as if it was night. Why? Why the darkness? Why the sleepiness? Why the confusion? Why the danger? You know why? Verse 12. This is why. For our sins are piled up before God, and the sins testify against us. We usually blame the devil for being the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes our sins pile up. And let me ask you, why do our sins pile up? Well, Jesus died on the cross, amen? Shed his blood, yes. His blood is for the forgiveness of our sins, yes. You with me? So because of his sacrifice and his blood, the Bible says that his blood, that sacrifice can cleanse me of my sin. But there's a couple things I got to do. Three things specifically. Number one, I got to put on Christ. I got to first put on Christ so that blood applies to me. Right? The Bible says that through baptism, we put on Christ. So I apply Christ, great. Now I have to confess my sin. And then I have to repent from it. So you put on Christ, and then you got to confess, which means awareness of your wrong. Awareness that, yeah, I know what I did. And so that's the confession. And then the harder thing is the actual repentance. The word repentance literally means U-turn. You're living in sin, you stop, you recognize, you confess, you turn around, and you go in the opposite direction. Repentance literally means U-turn. It doesn't mean you keep going. It means you stop and you turn around. And so why is it that our sins pile up sometimes? They pile up because A, you're asleep and you don't even realize they're piling up. B, sometimes we don't confess our sins. Like, oh, come on, pastor, don't talk about sin. Well, then don't come to church. Our sins pile up. Anybody ever had a sin pile up in your life? Well, come on, you're piling up right now if you don't raise your hand. Like, they pile up. And at some point, you got to say, God, I'm sorry. I recognize, I confess, and I repent. Right? And so it is in that process. For our sins are piled up before God, and they testify against us. Folks, and I give you some pastoral advice this morning. Don't bring 2025 sins into 2026. Amen? Leave those back there. And if you brought some with you, before you leave today, we'll come to this altar and we'll leave them here. Amen? Do not leave this church service with your 2025 sins. Confess them, repent, get cleansed, start afresh. Yes? Can we do that? Come on, let's give God praise if we can do that this morning. That's important. So it is the sins that have been piling up that are causing God's people to walk in darkness and to be sleepy. And while that's going on, all kinds of chaos is breaking out in their lives. But I want you to notice how good God is. Anybody thankful that God doesn't throw you away when you're being dumb? Anybody thankful that God doesn't just forget about you when you do sin on purpose? Notice, this is the condition of the people. God, these are God's people. Their sins were piled up. But notice what happens at the end of chapter 59. It says, the Lord says to his people whose sins are piling up, he says to them, I will come to Jerusalem to defend you and to save all of you, period. No, to save all of you who what? Don't miss those few words. They're important. God's blessing and salvation are just for everybody. Those promises are for those who, like us this morning, make a decision to turn from our sins, to do that U-turn and to stop going in the same direction. I will come to you, I'll defend you and save all of you who turn from your sins. And this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, neither will these words I have given you. It's good to know the goodness of God stays true even when we sin. Don't take advantage of his grace, but thank God for his grace. Amen? So this is the condition of the people. They were sinning, their sins were piling up, destruction, darkness, sleepiness, all these things were happening. And then God says, you know, but hey, I'm going to come. And if you turn from your sin, I got blessings for you. And then we get to Isaiah 60, verse 1, which is where we began. After that promise, chapter 60 says, arise. Everybody say arise. One more time, say arise. That word has three distinct meanings or applications in the original Hebrew in which this was written. Three ways in which it's used. Same word used in three different ways. The first one, and probably the most obvious one, word arise means it's time to wake up. Time to wake up. It is my concern that some of us have been spiritually asleep for some time. Spiritually asleep. You might come to church, but when you don't feel anything, you're asleep. When you don't sense anything, you're asleep. When the word of God doesn't speak to you, you might be here, but you're spiritually asleep. Your body might be here, but your mind is far from here. Some of us are spiritually asleep. And for those of you that wake up easy, beep, 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 get up. For those of us that take a little longer, softly and nicely use a little elbow and tell your neighbor, get up. It's time to wake up. It's time to open our eyes and see what's going on. Folks, there are some of you here that your families are in danger. You've been asleep at the wheel. All the men say amen. You'll get more tomorrow. Come to kingdom, men. But men, you're supposed to be the three things. What were the men supposed to be? Oh, Lord. We got to bring this back. You're supposed to be the provider, the protector, and the priest of your home. And when you don't do that, it doesn't get done. That's your job. So all of us have a responsibility here to protect our homes, our families, our own lives. So it's time to wake up. And I'm here as your pastoral alarm to let every one of you under the sound of my voice hear me say, wake up. Not the time to sleep anymore. It's time to get up. It's time to be awake and aware to not only what the enemy's trying to do, but more importantly, to what God wants to do in your life. And if you're asleep, you're missing it all. And if you're not careful, you're going to sleepwalk your way through life. Too many of us, let's face it, too many of us have already wasted years of our life being asleep. Before you know it, you're 40, you're 50, you're in your 60s. Like, what happened? You were asleep. A lot of things happened. Life doesn't stop for your sleepiness. Life keeps going. Oh my God, my kids grew up. I don't know what happened. You were asleep. Some of you are getting ready to retire and you're not ready to retire. You should have known it was coming. Oh my God, it snuck up on me. I'm 65. No, it didn't snuck. You were asleep. We all saw you get older. It's time to get up. So arise has that connotation. Get up. Stop sleeping. It's time to get up. Second application of arise also means to get up from defeat and setbacks. To get up from defeat and setbacks. Some of you might have had a rough 2026. I know it's only been 3 days, but hey, got off to a rough start. Some of you had a rough 2025. Some of you had a rough decade. Some of you had a rough life. And when life hits you hard, sometimes life knocks you down. And I love those Rocky movies. There's the early ones, 1 and 2. I love Rocky movies. And the reason why we love Rocky movies is not because he doesn't get hit. It's not because he doesn't get knocked down. Why do we love Rocky movies? Because he gets back up. And some of you, you've been down too long. You've been wallowing in your failure for years. You've gotten comfortable being a victim and feeling sorry for. At some point, you gotta get back up. You know what, when in boxing, somebody gets knocked down, what does the referee do? He comes over, and what does he do? You're down. I mean, you got hammered. You got hit hard, and you're down. And the referee comes over, what does he do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And if you don't get up, what does he do? It's over. You lost. Some of you, life has hit you hard. You've had some setbacks. And some of you right now, you might be on the canvas. You might be on the floor or the ring with the enemy at the other corner laughing at you. So I'll be your pastor referee this morning. And I'm gonna look at you right in the eye. I'm gonna start counting. And I wanna see what you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, somebody's up. 7, somebody's up. 8, somebody's up. 9, come on, I don't wanna count. Everybody get up. Like, is there any fight left in you this morning to say, you know what, I'm not about to go down. I still got some fight in me. I'm reaching for the prize. That took you a while. Some of you got knocked out, I see. Turn to the person next to you, tell them, get up. The third thing it means is to stop delaying or procrastinating. Stop delaying or procrastinating. If I had a dollar for every member of this church over the 26 years God has given me the pleasure to pastor Lighthouse Church, if I had a dollar for every member that says, Pastor, watch out, I'm getting ready, I'd be a filthy rich man. Oh, I'm getting ready. Oh, Pastor, this is the year. That was before COVID. When? Oh, Pastor, God's doing some things. He's been doing things. It's time to go. Like, before you know it. You know when you're young, you have a lot of potential. Because your life can go in so many beautiful directions. Amen? But as you get older, those opportunities begin to fall off. And as you get older, opportunities fall off. And as you get older, most opportunities begin to just completely be gone. And some folks wake up at 50 and 60, okay, I'm ready to go. That was 30 years ago. You missed, You miss the prime of your life. You know, all the young people say amen. Oh, no. Don't hide now. All the young people say amen. Don't waste your youth chasing dumb things. Don't waste your youth doing dumb things. All your energy, your passion on things that don't last. Things that add no value. Before you know it, you're going to be an old man, an old woman looking back, and you're 45, but you're still acting 12. Because you missed your chance. Like, you're young now? Wake up. All the parents say amen. Can you imagine? All of you who came to Christ later in life, raise your hand if you kind of came to Christ later in life. How many of you wish you would have done it when you were younger? How many pain, how much bruising and scars and bad decisions and regrets would have you avoided had you given your life to Christ when you were younger? Now, if you gave you Christ when you're older, praise God, you still got time. But let's face it, you wasted a lot of time in sinful living that gave you nothing. Nothing in return but regret. When you give your life to Christ as a young person and you stay connected to Christ, you save so much wear and tear. I gave my life to Christ when I was 14 years old. I'm 74 now. Low miles. 2026, let this be the year you finally do what you said you were going to do years ago. This year. Amen? Some of us, like, I'm trying to be very sort of in your face because I'm tired of seeing you waste your life doing things that don't matter. Waiting for something to come along. He came 2,000 years ago already. Like, nothing better is coming along than Jesus. Like, it's time. So I want us to declare this morning, not to say, to declare from deep in your belly, to declare this year, right now, I will arise in power and purpose. Can you imagine? Let's all say that together. I will arise in power and purpose. Say it again. Now declare it. Who's that up to? Stop blaming the world. Do the things you can do. The things under your control, do that. Prayer and fasting, you can do that. Oh, no. Yes, you can. All of us can do that. Now it's important to wake up. And let me go quickly. This concept of waking up is throughout the Bible. We've been focusing on Isaiah 59:60. But let me take you to the New Testament, because this concept is all throughout the scriptures. Romans 13 says it this way. This is all the more urgent. And I like that word, because some of us need a sense of urgency. Anybody have some family members that move a little too slow? Like, come on. Like, let's go. Chop, chop. Let's go. All the more urgent. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. Our salvation, talking about the return of Jesus, is nearer now than when we first believed. Some of you are like, oh, pastor, I know God gave me a calling. I'm getting ready, pastor. Year. Oh, pastor, I'm getting ready. Oh, pastor, ooh, I feel it, pastor. You've been telling me for years. Before you know it, like, doo-doo-doo-doo, like the trumpet's going to sound. Jesus, we missed it. You were supposed to be involved in ministry. You were supposed to preach the gospel. You were supposed to teach people. You were supposed to lead people to Christ. You're waiting for God knows what. I am telling you this morning, it's time to go. It's time to wake up. in our spirit to get after it, to go chase the things God has for you. How sad would it be to get to heaven and hear God said, here's all the things I had ready for you, you just never quite got up to get them. My God, no. Right now. Let me drop some truth on you. This is as young as you'll ever be. You're not getting any younger. Whether you're 15 or 25 or 75 or 95, every day more cells die within you. Tick tock, tick tock. What are we waiting for? Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm saving it for a rainy day. It's pouring. Stop being lazy. Stop procrastinating. A little sleep here, a little slumber there. Life passes you by. Before you know it, you're old with no opportunities. Go. Get after it. Chase after it. And more importantly, chase after God. He's the source of every good thing. He's the fountain from which every blessing flows. Chase after him. So this is all the more urgent. And I want you to have a sense of urgency in your spirit this morning. Because it's time to go. It's time to move. It's like, you know, all the parents say amen. You know, like, you know, you're gonna take your daughter, your son shopping. And the morning comes, okay, it's time to go. Let's go get up. And they don't get up. Anybody here ever leave your kids because they don't get up? Just anybody left them? I have. Like, you know, fine, I'm going. I was going to go shop for you, but I'm just going to go shop for me now. Like, this blessing was ready for you, but if you don't get up and get it, oh, I'm getting a vision. Raise your hand if you're the snooze button people. Oh, I knew you were here. All the snooze button people. You keep hitting that thing. 2 hours later. You know what's more amazing? You've gotten so good at being lazy. You can hit the snooze button without looking. The accuracy, the precision, you've done it before. We're not getting any younger. Our time and an opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Every day that goes by is a day lost. It's time for the church to arise. It's time for God's people to get up and get busy doing the things God called you to do. Wake up, our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. You know those people that wear the same thing 3 days in a row? And we all know it. Remove your... I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Anybody love the Bible? I just love the Bible. Like, that's such a great illustration. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Bro, you smell. That stain's been there since Thursday. And put on the shining armor of right living. Come on. Why? Because we belong to the day. We don't belong to the night. We belong to the day. To be awake, to be active, to be busy for the kingdom of God. We belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Let me take you to Ephesians 5. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, you have a choice, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead and Christ will give you light. One more. 1 Thessalonians. So be on your guard. Be alert. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. That's the choice. So this morning, on this first Sunday of the year, I, as your pastor, I'm calling on all of us to arise, to wake up to the fact, wake up to the fact that the enemy is working hard against you. Every Sunday you miss, every day that you don't even think about God, that's a day the enemy gains an advantage in your life. Every day you don't worship, every day you don't read your Bible, every day you disconnect from God, every day you're unplugged from God, that's one more day the enemy has to isolate you and to attack you and to destroy you. Wake up to that. On this first Sunday of the year, I want to encourage all of us to start a streak. How many want to start a streak of Sundays? Streak. You're here. Awesome. Come back Sunday. Oh, but the weather's going to be nice. Really? Oh, but the Lord's Day. Sunday, be here. You have no more important thing to do on a Sunday than to be here. Oh, but this. Oh, but no, but nothing. This. Because this blesses you in ways nothing out there will bless you. It's a choice. Secondly, I have an important question for you to consider. And I want you to just be honest with yourself. This is between you and God. Important question, though, is has your spiritual growth and desire slowed? Is it growing? Has it plateaued? Is it shrinking? Is it retracting? Or do you have the same passion for God from when you first believed? There's blessing in consistency. Let me say that again. There's blessing in consistency. Amen? There's blessing in consistency. Just be consistent. Show up. Today, I want to say to all of us here this morning, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to focus. Amen? As we begin this year, we're going to wake up, we're going to get up, and we're going to focus on the things that really matter. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. All other things you're worried about, all the other things you're chasing, God will give them to you. If you seek first, if you prioritize God and the things of God, my prayer for all of you is that we would make God a priority in our lives in 2026. That God would become a priority in 2026. We have other priorities, that's fine. It's not the only one. But it can be the top one. Because you get that one right, everything else falls in place. Folks, some of you are living life too hard. You're trying to earn things God will gladly give you if you put him first. Seeking first, and then all the other things will be added to you.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org. To stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.